Joining us now in studio at the Little Ticket is, I'd say, one of the top comedians in the world, the best impressionist in the world, and just a good dude. It is the one and only Frank Caliendo. Good morning, Frank.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Yeah. What a terrible start. How are you? I'm fine. Good. Let's move on.
You know, we just had an element in the elevator.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He forgot to press the button. We're just sitting in. I mean, he starts talking. Is that the most elf thing in the world?
Like, yes.
We're in the elevator. He starts talking, and he's talking about what we're going to do and all of the plans he's got. And I'm like, we're not moving. Nobody else in the elevator. Jay from the improv doesn't say anything. Elf doesn't say anything.
Frank looks at me and goes, are we moving?
Yeah. The L was there the whole time, and it wasn't just for lobby. I mean, it's just losers just sitting. Like, what do we do? Do you want me to start performing? Is that what we want? Is that what we're doing? A little Robert Downey Jr.? Can we start this thing up? We need a little Stark Industries. What are we doing?
Yes.
So it was like, That should have been a Morgan Freeman. And that's when they realized they weren't going anywhere. What in the world? But I'm starting to, I forgot how scattered Elf is until just a few moments ago. I was thinking, he gave me directions to get in, but didn't say where to park. He just said, enter through this spot. So I thought
the
that
hero
was where
sign
to,
downstairs.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Maybe, I didn't know if I was supposed to say that. But so we drive up to there and it says, you can't get in. You need a gold card or something like that. So then I text him, are we supposed to go? Oh no, you park across the street. So he wasn't giving me all the information.
But I knew it would be a great segment.
Yeah, that's what he was looking for. That's what it is.
He was trying to make it an adventure for you,
yeah,
Frank.
Yeah, content. Content. That's what Elf's about. Content. On purpose or not.
That's exactly right. All right, first of all, let's tell everybody why you're in town, because you got shows coming up at the Improv in Addison, which is a great place.
Yeah, I'll be there tomorrow night and Saturday night. If you want to go Saturday, those tickets are probably going to be gone by the end of the day. So there's two shows, and I make them earlier, so the late show's not even that late. But what is it? ImprovTX.com. You can get there, or FrankOnStage.com is my website. That brings you right to that Improv TX. TX, by the way, for Texas.
Oh, thank you. Don't know if you guys
knew anything about that.
I've been to two of your shows, and it is worth every penny. It is fantastic stuff, and I love how whenever you do bring it here, and I've seen your stuff nationally, but when you bring the things local, you really lean into a lot of the local stuff.
Find a little bit, yeah. Some, especially at the beginning, but it's just people have such pride in Texas. That's the funny thing. If you make fun of people in Florida, I'll do a joke a lot of times. You know, you just try to get the crowd going with something. So I'll say something in Florida that doesn't work at all there, but works great in Texas. I'm like, Texas, I love being in your country. And no passport needed or anything to get here. And people are, yeah! In Florida, they're angry about it. And like, now, what are you talking about? You talk about that? And here, they're like, you better believe it. We could be on our own soon. Don't worry about it. We're fine. We're good. You know, it's like, okay, all right. So but people just proud of Texas.
We were talking about this earlier this week when I said, you know, when I was in school, we would say the Pledge of Allegiance to the United States flag, and then we would say the Pledge of Allegiance to the Texas state flag. So every morning.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Welcome to Texas. I'm curious your take on this, because everybody that's a Texan was freaking out about the Major League Baseball All-Star game, how they showed cowboys and hats and lassos and everything. Did you see that? Are they beating up on Texans and showing it's only cowboys and horses and that?
Oh, there's more?
There is.
No, I don't know. I think there's a part of culture and stuff. Like, there's lots of, listen, my family, I had some family in Oklahoma and Texas.
I'm sorry.
Well, yeah. So I know this part of the country a little bit, and there's some pride in that. You can make it whatever you want. I choose to have fun with it, you know? And you see people talking about that stuff. I only saw a little bit of the All-Star game. I was doing some family stuff, but yeah, I don't know. That's, the TV looks for those things. What are the big things to talk about? And we're just so scared about everything in culture now. I don't see anything wrong with it. If the people got upset about it, I could see a guy with a lasso going, why are they talking about us like that? Like, we know you've got the lasso in your hand right now. You're wearing cowboy boots and a hat. It's cool. It's good.
Yeah, take that, Daddy.
Yeah.
Well, you know, my whole thing about that was just and Frank, you know this, having worked with Fox, every single time there is a national broadcast of a sporting event. They got to come back from commercials or do their vignettes. They got to show a longhorn in a pasture. They got to show somebody in the stockyards. It's every single time, and it just gets tired to me.
But that's the same with every community and everything they have.
Especially when it's a national thing.
Yeah, they're really trying to sell the broad strokes. They don't do a lot of intricate stuff. That's just what it is. Is it wrong? I don't know if it's wrong. It's just you're tired of it because you feel like there's so much more to your community, and there is. But I think that's just the way they point it to. That's what they're gonna get the biggest reaction from. I don't want to say reaction. The biggest. It's just vague in generalities, you know?
You're currently listening to the voice of Frank Caliendo. That's his voice.
That's what I sound like. Stop talking. Do Morgan Freeman.
Tell me about when you first started in comedy and where you got your start. Because, I mean, people know what you've been doing for years, but when did you get started and how'd you get started?
I started out in, I grew up in Wisconsin. I was born in Chicago, but grew up in the Milwaukee area. And I went to school for broadcast journalism and didn't really want to be the interviewer because I was scattered, kind of like you, Alf, where I'm just going from one thing to the other. And all I ever really wanted to be was a guest on talk shows. I used to watch Robin Williams do it. Oh my goodness, here we are. What is this? That kind of stuff. And I was just amazed when people were promoting. I didn't think about they have to promote movies and stuff. I didn't worry about the acting or anything like that. I went to school for broadcast journalism and realized, hey, I don't want to start out being a news reporter in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, talking about some little festival or something going on, interviewing the guy. Which would be how you'd come back in to the game from commercial
barrel wheelbarrow.
See, that's how they think though when the producers are doing that.
It's the Wisconsin Cheese Festival this year.
Yeah. and this more that's my problem. It's early and I can't even think of cheese in Wisconsin. That's the struggle for me this morning. So I got out on the college circuit. I showed up at a club and did some impressions. I did Tony Danza, why would you do a Tony Danza? Robin Williams, oh my goodness, what else did I do? I did, like the cast of Taxi. I was like, boss, hi.
Thank you very much. I went to,
that was part of the, and they were like, Tony Danza there. And so it was one of those things where they're like, can you come and work for us? I'm like, this is like my third time on stage. And they're like, doesn't matter. Just come and do that a little bit. And I had some okay shows and some terrible shows because I didn't know what I was doing. And then I got onto the college circuit a couple years later.
That must have been fun.
Well, yeah. 20. See, here's the thing. If you're older on the college circuit, you look like a creep, or somebody's parent. But if you're 20, I was 22.
Oh.
Yeah, so it was pretty great. Just going from college to college, I just drove across the country and stuff like that.
I know Rich Little was a big influence on you, but so was Jonathan Winters, who was unbelievable.
Yeah, Jonathan Winters we're going really old school. Now we're talking about people on the ticket who haven't even been alive that long, I did something just a little weird today. So he was like Robin Williams before Robin Williams. So that was a big one. With the Impressionists, I always was a little bored by how long they spent in the impression sometimes. It was like the Rich Little setup. I love that Rich Little did impressions, but it was such a long vaudevillian type of show that, 10 minutes of Inspector Clouseau, I was like, okay, I can get to the
Got
next
tired.
Thing. Yeah. So I like that speed of the Robin Williams, Jonathan Winters, switching the characters, creating your own world, and then having the characters pop back in. So that was really, Jim Carrey was a big influence too on In Living Color, Dana Carvey, Saturday Night Live, Phil Hartman. Those guys, were really big influence. And SCTV actually too was just for the weirdness of that when I was, 12, 13, 14 years old.
We're talking to Frank Caliendo, the great Frank Caliendo, here joining us in the studio.
Am I a magician? That's always the great Frank Caliendo.
No, you're not far off from a magician.
No,
honestly.
They are kind of magic tricks. Yeah, impressions are. That's the way I explain it to people, too. They're like, you're... I'm not a wizard, so people don't understand how much work goes into it. For a magician to become good at their craft, they practice a trick over and over and over, and that's really what impressions are. I've probably done this for some of you guys before, but there are certain things you can do with your throat. It's just like, if you want to tie it into sports, it's like training a particular muscle group or something like that. So, Kermit the Frog. Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog here. You got that voice right in here, right? And then there's Fozzie Bear. Ah, waka, waka, waka. So that's back of the throat, and Kermit's up there nasal. So if you bring that down a little bit from Kermit the Frog, it becomes John C. Reilly. Did you touch my drum set? See, that's pretty cool. That's a... Last time we heard something like that, I fell off my dinosaur. So there's that. Now, if you add a little air to it, it becomes Mark Ruffalo. I see this as an absolute win, that kind of thing. And if you bring it down even more and add more air, it becomes Paul Giamatti. I believe this is one of the weirdest segments that's ever been done on the ticket. And I've heard a lot of Gordon stuff. And if you go back even a little bit, bring it back to John C. Reilly and bring it... you tighten it up a little bit, it becomes Joe Rogan. Wow, Jamie. Oh, my God. Pull that up. That's crazy.
Wow.
That is nuts. So those voices are, and there's other ones in there, Ray Romano's, and oh, you know, that kind of thing. And it's funny because if you take John C. Reilly, you bring it, it becomes Arnold. What you doing over there? So all those voices are super similar, but you work on it. Yeah, that. But when I first started, my Bill Walton, how great is this? Enjoying the world. You know, it's almost the same as John Madden. John Madden's here. And then Bill Walton's here. How great is that? So there, it's, and they can start to blend and people hear those. I was doing Paul Giamatti on social media posts or something. Like, they're like, that sounds like Jack Nicholson. Well, Paul Giamatti's here. There's a lot of air, but if you bring it down a little bit, and breathe in the entire time, it becomes Jack.
Well,
as you can hear, there's quite a bit of difference. Now, as we're speaking of the Joker, you can take Paul Giamatti, and he can become Heath Ledger. You want to know how I got these scars? See how close that is?
Wow.
My father was a drinker. See, that's real similar. So,
have you ever done an impression of someone who hates it?
If you do the impression to the person, most of the time they get it a little bit more. It's when people, I don't know, when they feel like you're ripping them, or there are times where people feel like you're hurting their brand. Like, I remember Berman at one time was like, if you're gonna do, are you doing me? Can you do, and he just talked to me in Morse code. And everybody at that ESPN does a Chris Berman. Everybody who's ever been there pretty much does one. They just were scared to do it. Not that he would do anything, but they just didn't want to find out if the brass, you know, was going to be mad about it. So, the guy who's never liked me is Jim Rome. How great is that? Would not even look at me in the eyes.
Well, he's cocky for no apparent reason.
At the Super Bowl. Hold on, just got a fax. Still getting faxes for some reason. The only fax machine that still works in the entire United States. Dear Jim, what is going on? Great job with the fax machine.
He would literally come in with an entourage, like at Radio Row.
I mean,
he was 4'9" and had.
He's a little taller than me, actually.
There's so much more I want to get to, and thankfully we do have Frank for the rest of the show, so we're super excited. But I do want to set up the 840 bit, because we have a fun one coming up next, and what we're going to do is we're going to take our local impressionist expert, and we're going to have Frank grade him on some of his top guys. So Gordon Keith is obviously the man here, the great Gordo.
Gordo is, I just watched one of his live streams the other day, and probably 2 weeks ago, maybe. Yeah. Was it on Twitch?
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, it was Twitch, and I signed up for it just to watch.
Yeah, it's a pretty popular thing.
And I'm at some point, we want to do that, a long form kind of, interview type of thing. And, but I was trying to chime in and get him to notice that I was there, and he never saw it. I texted him afterwards. He's getting tons. I mean, there's a lot of people.
He's done a
good
job.
Very impressed with how he handled it. And I even texted him afterward. I'm like, wow, this is really great. It's actually inspiring me to want to do this type of thing. 'Cause I'm always scattered and all over the place, but he has that ability to stay grounded and smooth and just host through it himself. I'm like, I probably need somebody there.
Don't give him too much credit. He gets pretty scattered himself.
Well, I'm sure he can. But I remember talking to him a long time ago, and I'm sure I was listening to the stream a little bit earlier. And I'm sure Jerry's going to be one of, he does two Jerrys.
Yeah.
Right? There's the regular Jerry, and there's that crazy, creepy, that's so, and I asked him because I hadn't heard him do the, I do an okay Jerry. It's anytime I do Jerry online, I have been. That's all I do. You know, I've been thinking about a lot in the shower. I have been. I did a couple times, and then somebody reposted it and it went mini viral or something like that. Everybody's like, you're not Gordon Keith. You will never be Gordon Keith. Gordon Keith will always be our savior, and you will never be anywhere near. I'm like, I know, I'm friends with him. Relax. And it is unbelievable. But most of the time he's not even doing regular Jerry. I forgot that what his regular Jerry sounded like. And then the creepy Jerry, just the intricacies and all the stuff he says with it. 'Cause you guys hear him all the time.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's so beautiful.
We're going to listen to some Gordon Keith here right after the break. And we're going to have Frank chime in on what he hears with a couple of other guys along with Jerry. That's coming up next on Ticket. 8:43 here on the Ticket. Saad Yusuf, Mark Elfenbein, Zach Barnett and the crew. Taking you up until the invasion, but we are joined with a very, very special guest, the great Frank Caliendo, in studio with us for the rest of the show. And we are going to do a special 8:40 bit here. Obviously, Gordo. Yes,
there we go.
There we go.
Is that what it is? The 8:40 bit?
That's what they call it.
See, yeah. Now,
how about that?
With a microphone on, huh? Yeah. The microphone. By the way, Dave Little, you guys know Dave Little.
Oh, great Dave Little. Good basketball player, too.
The great Dave Little. He sounded great this morning, and he just wanted a plug. I'm sure he didn't say that, but I know he did. That's why anybody texts in to say they're listening, because they want to be talked about.
That's right.
He's going to be on the show with me, by the way, at the Improv this weekend.
Is he really?
Yeah, Dave Little's on the shows.
He's got a little Stephen Wright in him.
Dave?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my Dave Little, because he sounds like Tom Baudet from Motel 6. We'll leave the light on for you. I don't sound like that. All right, so set up the bit.
All right, so here we go.
The 8:40 bit.
You've heard a lot of the audio we're about to play. You've heard it in this exact time slot. Gordo doing a few of these guys. We're going to start with Mavericks.
Is this Gordo's Corner?
Basically, it's,
that's 9:15.
Oh, that's 9:15.
Yeah, that's 9:15. But
you actually get to go in that as well.
Okay, I'm everywhere.
But Gordo, we're going to start with Mavericks head coach Jason Kidd. And here's the real Jason Kidd.
Well, you're telling. Oh, I thought you were going to make me guess between which was which.
Oh, okay.
You want to try to do that?
Well, okay, yeah. We'll do that. So, okay, well, this I kind of gave it away, but
it could go either way. You could go either way.
Well, this is Jason Kidd.
Different in the sense of we'll look at what we can do. This isn't time to go for a bike ride or go to the park or the zoo. We got to figure out how to slow these guys down.
And here is also Jason Kidd.
Well, I'm not in the driver's seat. I'm sitting at home right now, and I always do my best to encourage my players to not, you know, play basketball while driving, if that's what you mean. So, I mean, because, you know, 53% of half of the automobile accidents are probably most likely caused by people playing basketball while driving.
Well, here's the I know that's Gordo.
Especially with the phone gives it away.
The difference
too.
Is the phone. Yeah.
The phone will give it away.
Okay, so well, let's do it your way, not my way. Because I was.
So that's Jason Kidd.
What I picked up on there is that like the. It's. It, I don't want to. There's the little tangents and the way he speaks are in little phrasings. Yeah. That's great. That's great.
All right, next up, we got Rangers manager Bruce Bochy.
I just think, you know, this is a team that has such a even presence about them that they're going to be able to handle anything thrown at them. We showed it last year how resilient they are, and the fact that, you know, they're looking at a couple of other teams that, you know, are ahead of us, that it doesn't faze them at all.
Now play the second one. That's the first cut. Here's the second cut.
you guys can probably tell by listening to me. My breath always smells of this morning's coffee and last night's whiskey. And you know, sometimes it has a hint of beef jerky to it. And my clothes always smell like the cheapest laundry detergent you can find. And the same bottle of drugstore cologne I bought in 1992 that I've been nursing along ever since it turned. And,
what are you seeing there?
Well, it's that deep. It's that deep, yeah. Right in here. And there's a little bit that goes together, and there's going to be get her done. There's a, that's a guy. I can get some French fried potatoes.
There's that's that muscle that's being used right in there. I was just looking forward to hearing what the Gordo version was going to be. Because it was going to be in here.
They played.
That one's really
it's really,
really
good, and they actually had the real Bruce Bochy on last week, and I'm driving, and I swear I'm going, is that the real or fake one? Because I couldn't tell.
Yeah, that's the best when
the
that
other thing with Gordo's stuff is, you know, he's talking about unserious stuff, it away too.
It's always making fun of the person in the situation too. Yeah. It's brilliant.
All right, and finally the big one, here's Jerry Jones.
I would anticipate, with looking ahead at our key contracts that we'd like to address, we'll be all in. I would anticipate we'll be all in at the end of this year.
And here is Jerry Jones.
I mean, I'm 80 years old. I can't believe at this age I'm about to have a new half-daughter. Gene's not going to speak to me for a year. So you can add that to the 3-year streak he's on right now.
This evil Jerry gets even more. He gets even more into
French fried potatoes. That's what that is right there. Gonna kind of get it.
That's it's just so funny. Pure Gordo right there.
So of those three, which one did you feel was?
I thought Bruce Bochy's actually the closest. Okay. I know that he's doing Jerry on a tangent on purpose.
Yeah.
So I you know that's not Jerry. You know that's Gordo's Jerry. And the Jason Kidd's very good, but the Bochy's just one of those that I think he could fool people.
I know
he could fool people with the you know. When I first started doing the John Madden, I listened to the old, it sounded like way up here. And then eventually a guy started talking like he did talk, and the laid back John Madden kind of thing. And then I turned Madden into this, where he was just eating the microphone or anything in front of him. And that's what Gordo does with Jerry there. And, so you were asking me a question off the air before.
Right. Getting the voice down is one thing, but I'm interested to hear your perspective of the real Jerry is the...
Well, the real Jerry's a character, right? The real Jerry is actually a character. You know, there's gonna be, he's gonna talk around things. He's the only person I've ever heard give an interview, and by the end, he's asking the questions of the interviewer, and they are feeling nervous with the answers, right? Like, they're like, how did we get to this point? I did an event years ago, for the NFL owners, and I tried to meet Jerry, and I think he'd seen me do the impression of before, and he did one of those Seinfeld looking at his watches when Newman comes in, kind of like he turned, like I said, Mr. Jones, I'm over here. And I was like, okay. So you make them a character. Will Sasso did it on Mad TV. He did Kenny Rogers, and he's like, I'm Kenny Rogers, and this is Gurkhead. There was nothing to do with Kenny Rogers, and that's what I think makes it really funny and fun. Now, the internet's a little bit different. They like you to be a little bit more on the nose and do the exact quote-unquote impersonation as opposed to the impression, which I think is more the caricature. And the caricature, when you do it over and over, is way funnier. It's just, it becomes this goofy, silly thing. And you get maybe even a little bit different point of view than what the actual person has. You were talking about Jerry in real life off the air. You were talking about is more of the businessman kind of thing and trying to say all the things to create his narrative, right? But I was thinking about what Gordo's is. It's closer to Homer Simpson, just as a dad, like as this character who's bumbling his way through everything and all the you know, got the kids and trying to keep stuff and
taking Jerry Jr. to daycare.
Yeah, it's insanity, right? It's just complete insanity.
Well, we're having a great time here with the great Frank Caliendo. Let's carry this over. It's 8:51 here on the ticket. Let's talk to Frank about some stuff that where his breakthrough was and just, you know, what the process has been for him as he's kind of grown throughout the last couple of decades. We'll do that next here on the ticket.
2 minutes after 9 o'clock, Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310 The Ticket. The Musers and Gordo out on vacation till next Monday. It's Elf, it's Sod, it's Zach, it's Deddy, it's Baldy, it's Tyler. But joining us in studio is the one and only Frank Caliendo. And Frank is in town blessing us with his greatness in studio, but you're not here for us. You're here for the improv in Addison. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, two shows on Friday. What time are the shows, Jay? 7 and 9:15 on Friday, and then what? 6 and 8:15 on Saturday. Saturday's probably going to be gone fairly soon. So if you want to get tickets for Saturday, I'd get them right away. And you got a little bit of time to get the Friday tickets, the tickets for tomorrow. But improvtx.com is the website, or frankonstage.com is my website, which brings you to improvtx.com directly.
All right, P1s, look, we're not going to ask you for a big favor, but right now we want it sold out. We want Friday sold out.
Yeah,
we need it. One more time, give it the website.
Frankonstage.com or improvtx.com.
That's it.
Yeah. And I almost went Trump on it. It's very good. It's a tremendous website. There you get, you can buy the tickets, and people, a lot of people, a tremendous amount of people are talking about the tickets right now on the ticket. On the ticket, they're talking about tickets for Frank Caliendo. He's good. He's good. I've seen better, but we're not going to talk about those people right now. Just the number one guy for this weekend at the Dallas Improv, which is in Addison. It's a suburb, but it's its own city. It's very, very good.
That's perfect.
I've heard, we know you do unbelievable impressions and voices. What are the ones that you've been trying to do and you haven't done yet?
Oh, I mean, there's a ton. If you haven't heard me do it, it's probably something that I've worked on and couldn't get to. So,
did you ever do Cosell?
So old school. People ask me to do it. I never really worked on it because it's such an older audience.
Right.
I probably could. This is how Ed Coast. I mean, somewhere in there.
Right.
I'd have to work on it to get it not being so generic.
So, for example, Romo and Nance, give us a little smidge.
Jim.
Tony Romo's like starting a car.
Jim.
Then it becomes an F1 race.
Jim.
I got a message from Nance one time. He's like, Frankie, because I always do that thing, because I don't do a great Jim Nance. I've worked on it at times, but there's two Jim Nances. There's golf Jim Nance, and there's football Jim Nance, right? And football Jim Nance does that to the sideline, you know, that kind of a thing where it sounds like the producer's playing with the VU meter at the time. So I'd always do, Jim, and then the exciting play, here we go, Jim, Tony! So, and they even have done that on games before. Yeah. Like they've done my bit. And Nance has gotten wrong, but Nance left me a message one time. He's like, Frankie, hello, Frank, Jim Nance. You know, it was just the greatest message in the world. Just saying he's heard the bit and he lives out in Nashville. He's like, I'll come to one of your shows. The beautiful skies of Augusta, you know, so it was just a great a phone call to get that they liked it and stuff. I guess I'm sure the production team does that stuff all the time.
Have you done Buck and Aikman?
Not really. I worked on it at times, and I had a little bit of an okay Buck. I know Gordo does the Aikman with just stating the absolute obvious. But I was working on a Buck, and I did it for him, and then he's like, that's not me at all. Like, it's funny because I do like an Adam Schefter, according to my sources, at this particular time, and they hear all the things that are wrong in that. Like, when I do Adam Schefter, to get the voice, I have to give up the S's a little bit. He doesn't say the S like that, but I can get the voice, and then it becomes Adam Schefter on helium. According to my sources at this particular time, it appears that Dak Prescott's warm-up routine has changed the entire face of the NFL. Move those hips, sling the ball, and be ready to throw it to CeeDee Lamb. Just both of you need to be healthy, and everything's going to be fine.
Oh, my gosh. 9:06 here on the ticket. We are talking to Frank Caliendo, Mark Elfenbein, Saad Youssef, filling in for the Musers. So with you, it's interesting because with a lot of people that you know what their breakthrough is, they have this iconic moment. And whenever I'm talking about you with my friends or family, I get like six different answers of like, what is the Frank Caliendo breakthrough that you
right.
got
so
to
a lot
know
of people
him.
Know me from sports. That's the big thing. Now, football in particular, the NFL on Fox, which I was there for 9 years.
Wow.
And I've been almost gone for 9 years.
Wow.
People think I'm still on that show.
I didn't realize
people think
that.
I'm still there with Terry going, not funny, Frank, not funny. Why can't we get a real comedian? What kind of comedian? You know, like that guy who talks about the squirrels? That's you. That's what I meant. Pay me the extra money. That's what I'm good for. Pay me the extra money. So there's that. Some people know me from Mad TV and then reruns from Mad TV. I would say
George Bush.
The George Bush Letterman's a big thing. Yeah. And I was so fat at the time. It was so fun. I was doing George Bush, but look like I got stung by a bee. Had an allergification reaction, man. And Letterman's I don't watch myself. He's like, George, looking a little heavy there, huh? I mean, I was really fat at the time. Like, I have a picture of me next to Tom Cruise, and it looks like I'm going to eat Tom Cruise. Like, I have all these great pictures of me next to, like, super famous people, and it looks like they're going to be a snack. It's just, like, that's a crazy story. I was in the green room at the Tonight Show, and I was talking about Tom Cruise, and I think I said his name 3 times, and he just appeared behind me, like Candyman out of nowhere. And he's like, you are a very funny man. And I was like, and you complete me. So, but he'd watched me during the NASCAR awards years ago, hosting that. And, it was right after that at the time. And I was like, how do you even know who I am? He's like, I know everybody. I was like, man, do you also see dead people? What are you? So, there's just lots of different little things people know me from. There could be viral things. There was a viral thing that was Bush and Clinton, the comparison. That was a thing. Some people know me on Instagram. Morgan Freeman narrating, the LeBron letter. That's another thing people know so well. So, a lot of it ties into sports because I was always able to talk more about because I grew up playing sports. My dad was a minor league baseball player when I was, you know, before I was born, but he played for the Sarasota Sun Sox for a few years. And his name is my name, Frank Caliendo. So if you look up Frank Caliendo, there's a batting average of like 219 or something.
Look
like
at
that.
You, Frank.
Yeah. But I did win the 14 under AAU national championship in Urbandale, Iowa.
There you go.
So you know. So I was an All-American. Those days have passed.
But yeah. You do a great Bush. I've heard you do Obama, but now you have a couple of guys on the, you know, in the political sphere who are just such
targets,
but
it's the wrong word.
Try to choose your words properly. You got to be very careful with the words you're choosing.
So I always go at it pretty equally. I try to, even though I get smacked, people will come at me from all angles. Like, listen, I'm just making fun of these guys. It's basically. I was going to say Bush and Obama, but that's not them anymore. But these guys, Biden and Trump, I basically make them Statler and Waldorf, the two old guys from the Muppets. That's really what it is.
That's,
you know,
fantastic.
Why do we always come here? I guess I'll never know. Thanks again, Georgia. To have to watch the show.
And my thing with Biden is he's got the whisper follow-up. So he'll try. But Trump's way of getting things is the "and everybody knows it" phrase.
And everybody knows it.
Like, nobody could know it, but
and everybody knows it. There's a colony of people on Mars, and 100% of them voted for me, and everybody knows it.
Right? It's that. And Biden's way of doing it is the whisper follow-up. So he'll be talking about, it's a this or that. He's like, it's not politics, it's science. It's science. It's science. It's not the heat. It's the humidity. It's the humidity. It's not delivery, it's DiGiorno.
By the way, DiGiorno, the number one home pizza, and everybody knows it.
So I just go back and forth. Like, I end my show wandering into the audience now. That's how, like, as Biden. So that's kind of what it is. And people are like, oh, you're making fun of, you know, this old guy. I'm like, well, he's the president. Until, you know, I just look at it. Like, somebody got mad at me the other day. I did like a Trump, Biden, and RFK talking to each other. And they're like, you're making fun of an assassin. No. This, he got through it. It was an ear. Otherwise, I wouldn't be. Don't, you know, I'm real careful with this stuff. But it's, I have fun with it. And then, so in that phone call,
Donald, how's he here? Well, doctors are saying it's probably the greatest recovery of any human ever.
You know, it's that kind of thing. And then RFK comes like, what are you guys talking about? This is so difficult to listen to you guys. You know, that kind of a thing. So it's just, and at the end, it's, Obama and Bush on the call. Like, I think they forgot we were on this call.
So did I for a while.
So it's, I always keep my.
All right, listening to the greatness of Frank Kelly on the
week. Tremendous greatness.
That's right. Yes, and we have it all.
Tremendous greatness.
For at least another 45 minutes. And then if you don't hear the next 45 minutes.
The greatest 45 minutes.
You can go to the Addison Improv Friday and Saturday and check out. Friday night, we need it sold out. I'm just telling you right now. We need it sold out. Website again, Frank, one more time.
I'll just finish this drink.
All right, go ahead.
FrankOnStage.com, which brings you to ImprovTX.com, which is Improv Texas, if you can't figure that out. Improv Texas, ImprovTX.com. All my social media, by the way, at Frank Caliendo. If you can't spell Caliendo, it's the letter C, the word alien, and the word do. So at Frank C alien do. Look at you guys. I said that.
I've just never heard it.
I said C alien do. It's like, Ruby Roo. That's right, Raggy. Soinks like a Scoob. Like he might be as much of an alien as Elon Musk. Ruh-roh. He's building electric cars.
More of this next. 921 Sports Radio 96.7 and 13 the ticket. Elf, Zod, Zach, the whole crew, filling in for the Musers and Gordo, will be back on Monday. Joining us in studio is the one and only, the great Frank Caliendo at the Addison Improv. He's Friday night, Saturday night. Friday night, we need it sold out. We've got a few tickets left. Let's get to it.
Yeah. Saturday will be sold out pretty soon. Then Friday, it's got some, decent amount of tickets left.
So this is normally Gordo's Corner, brought to you by A1 Locksmith Security and Safes, Tylock George Eye Care. We're calling it Frank's Corner now, so let's stick to
that.
I don't want that.
I don't want that. Trust me, I don't want that. Because of the reactions, I'm going to get Gordo's Corner way better. Frank should maybe have a little piece of a wall.
Can you do a Gordo?
No, I don't think it's hard to do. I think there's something, because he's got a little bit of text. He's got a little twang in there. But he has a voice that I think is doable, because it's relaxed. And because he does all the characters and impressions and stuff like that, his voice goes up and down. You're talking about that before with me off the air. Now, sometimes people will hear a different impression while I'm just talking normally. Like, you sound like John Gruden right now. You're not even trying to do that, man. Or Jack Nicholson, I'll get that. Just depending on how my voice, but you also hear my voice a little bit in the impression when I'm doing it. So, because Gordo has that different range of, in his actual voice, I think there's stuff to do with it, but it's that relaxed nature. There's something in there, that brings you, like, he has people, all the musers all have that kind of thing where they,
uniqueness.
In different ways. Yeah. It's a uniqueness, but it's a relaxed, like, a lot of people push stuff out on the radio and they let the audience come to them. And you gotta be pretty good to do that.
How has social media changed the game for you and what you do?
Well, it should have changed it a lot more, because I should have done a lot more of it. But, you just have to be out there and, like, what really works for people is personal stuff. And I try to keep most of my personal life more that way. But people like that. People really like the behind the scenes stuff, which I've got agents and stuff trying to get me to do more of that. But that's how everything's spread now, is you put stuff out and hope it goes viral.
Also, I'm curious, there's quite a few people who do impressions, and not just, you know, in general, but even in sports. Is it one of those things where you don't speak of those people, or
no,
do you have
I don't
a healthy
care.
Respect?
I mean, I've got,
or?
Like, depends on who they are. If I don't, Jay Farrow's great, does a lot of great impressions. There's the young guys like Joey Molinaro that's doing a bunch. Mel Kiper wasn't even trying to do it. Tremendous job out of Indianapolis. Got the glasses, does the office guys with the other guy. I can't think of the name of right now, but at the end of the day, pop, 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 you know, so, there's a lot of people that I would watch and go, okay, but that's how I watch when I watch myself. But, to me, I don't talk about it if I don't think they're good at something or great. That, like, Joey's Saban is, like, that Nick Saban is fantastic. So.
It is. Real quick, before we want, I want you to hear Jubb doing McCarthy.
Okay.
So let's go ahead and play Mike McCarthy right now.
This is not a huge challenge, you know, and it's something actually Mike and I have talked about that pandemic year, because, you know, both being older coaches in the league, you know, there's probably some things I think we both would have done differently, you know, in the embracement of that. So I don't see that as a challenge. I mean, those guys are really going through a normal first year. You know, I mean, they're in early. the defensive staff, and they're just grinding away. They're spending a ton of time together. And, you know, football's still football. I mean, we're still going to line up with 11 players on defense.
And here is Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, that's tough. You know, he's a tough football player. You know,
that's exactly.
Zeke, you know, Big Ten football player, you know, real tough.
Talking through that.
I guess one bright side of it, at least, you know, at least Kellen Moore has no choice but to use Tony Pollard
now.
That's
really, you know, right.
Isn't that weird? You know, that it's like we try to avoid giving the ball to the guy who can make plays.
The
like
laugh
football
off.
101, the laugh. You know, you give a game breaker with football speed, football moves, you give him the football, you know.
It's funny, that's very, I'd worked on it for a while, and the interesting thing is Mike McCarthy has gotten a little bit of Dallas in him because he's a Pittsburgh guy.
Yeah.
He's got that talks right through here, that kind of thing, too. One eye looking this way, another eye kind of looking that way. But, that's why I was keen into. There was a football, you know, it's kind of football. There's still a lot of Pittsburgh in there, but there's a little. Wow, that's really good. That's a great one.
You're a big sports guy, we know. We've been talking during the breaks about sports and everything. I'm dying to get your take on now the TNT with Charles and Kenny and Shaq and Ernie going away.
You think they're going to go away?
Yeah, I think it's going to go. I'm retiring. I'm done. Unless somebody has enough money.
That's in parentheses when he says that stuff. I think Charles probably thinks he's going to be gone, but somebody will find it. It's like Peyton and Eli. Things have gotten so easy for you can do stuff from your home now, yeah, as a secondary broadcast. If you are big enough, and Charles Barkley is the biggest. He's the biggest and the best, the number one guy. I think that they'll find something that he would be willing to do. Is that deal done?
It's got one more year
left. Yeah.
But it's not totally official yet either.
Yeah. Right. There's always this little bit of talk, but it seems like it's pretty close. And Charles always talks about the crew and all that. We'll see. I think he thinks that, but then when somebody says you can do it from your house,
I can do it from my recliner. That's a really, how much? I can't do it for that. How about this much? I'm in. I'm really, really ready.
You know, I think there'll be a point where you could get it because you don't even have to do all the time. I mean, it could be just specific things. That's the way this world is with individual. If you're your own boss, he has a production company, doesn't
he?
Yeah,
I think he does. Yeah,
I mean,
that's the big deal.
You can weigh, you know, you can use that negotiations against anything. I think you'll see something. I was just at Summer League. I was just at the Summer League watching. My son and I like watching the guys that get drafted, seeing who's going to be, you know, looks like they've got something. I always look for, can one of these young guys or new guys, do they have one thing they can add? Cause a coach can put them in. Are you a shooter? Can you defend? Super quickness, super.
Right. Block some shots.
Yeah. We watched Derek Lively last year.
Okay.
And when we watched Lively last year, like, oh, he gets up and down the court and he, you know, they funnel them in and he gets block shots. He comes over, helps side defense. I mean, he's getting there really quickly. He can get out on the perimeter and guard. This guy is going to be pretty good. And then he was even better than that. So the guy I didn't think would be very good, Luka Doncic. Didn't think he had a chance. Said he's too wide, drinks too many beers, during the game, he's drinking beers, but he's good. He's very good, very wide. In fact, we could put him on the board. Nobody's getting through. Put Luka Doncic on the southern border, and nobody would get through. And also, they'd get free beer because Luka's making a lot of money. He's doing very, very well. And then we watched. The Reed Shepard was the guy at Houston. Like,
man,
oh,
he lit it up.
Goodness, he's
good.
Yeah, he is. Now you have to see NBA defenders are a different thing because now you're 6'2". Now I'm not saying he's not going to succeed. I think it's going to be tougher than what it looks like because now you have to go against guys 6'5", 6'7", that are guarding you with the same speed as you.
Right.
That changes everything. Guys who can close so incredibly fast. I still think he's going to be good. I think he's going to be very good, but it's not going to be. It looked pretty easy at times for him in the summer league there.
Hell, he like
Dalton Connect too.
Dalton Connect, I thought, was really good. Looked like he wasn't playing at full speed yet for some reason while I was watching him. And we watched Brawny too, and that was really great. And no, he was fine. I worry about how much pressure's put on the kid. But Dalton Connect was the guy I wanted to see, and I thought he was fun. His shot looked a little bit flat, but a lot of guys were very short, you know, with their shots in Las Vegas. I don't know what that was. I'm trying to think who else was really good that stood out. We watched Richa Shea.
First time. And then how about the kid that went second? Sar was 0 for everything the other night.
He was struggling. It's just when guys come from overseas, that's why Doncic is such an amazing
stud.
It's like, yeah, and I live in Phoenix.
Okay, so you've said
something. They took 8. Yeah right?
Yeah.
Dominating. I think there's, you don't realize it until you see Luka in person and you realize how much of a mountain he is. He's wide and he moves at his own speed, but he's so wide, so thick. He's so skilled and so strong that he can do that. There aren't many players that can do that type of thing. So I'm trying to think if there was anybody else at Summer League I really, really thought was,
Sixers had the guy that McCain that painted his fingernails.
McCain's, he's really good.
He scored 34 the other night. Drawing a blank on his name.
For?
The Sixers.
From UCLA? The center?
I don't know. No.
There's also the kid that had the tomahawk dunk yesterday.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Listen, I love the NBA and, I never thought I would get into Summer League, but just like you, I want to see the guys that were drafted or some of these young guys.
I saw Cody Williams play in high school.
Okay.
I mean, and there's another kid, Koa Pete, that's coming from the same high school.
Right.
His brother played for the Saints and just got traded. He's a lineman, but a 6'7" guy that ran like a 5'1" 40 or something like that, back in the day.
Andres Pete.
Yeah. His brother is Koa Pete. Koa is a 6'8" forward who's being recruited by everybody. So I like to watch those guys just to see, one of the first years we went, we saw Jalen Duren.
Okay.
And you just see these guys, you're like, okay, I get it. This guy's just stronger than everybody. He gets up faster than everybody. We saw a little bit of Holmgren, and we got there too late to see Wembanyama last year, but Wemby, we went and watched, I was going to say something else about this bird, but I'm not going to say it.
It's 9:32 here on the ticket. Saad Yusuf, Mark Elfenbein, we're filling in for the Musers, joined by the great Frank Caliendo. I've seen Frank a couple of times, at this Addison Improv show. It's worth it. You should, get your tickets. He's playing tomorrow and, Saturday. He's doing a couple of shows on Friday, a couple of shows on Saturday. The way he wraps up these shows, at the Improv is he'll ask people.
It. Buzz round.
Oh, yeah.
Buzz round.
Oh,
what do you want to do? And we're going to get a mini version of that coming up next in our final segment here with the Musers. That's next on the ticket.
All right, Frank, talk a little football. Come on, what you got?
Well, I don't remember what we were talking about. What are we talking about?
Football.
Can't throw football.
We were talking about how the NFL is trying to eat the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, they're just taking it. We were talking about, off the air, we were talking about how the NFL, the greatest marketing machine maybe in my lifetime. The picking players beats an NBA playoff game in the ratings. So I'm looking forward to the season coming up, because you just never, everybody thinks everybody's going to be good, and you can't, it takes a few games to start figuring it out, and there's going to be a lot of new things. So that's in general, generalized, that's what I'm looking forward to.
How would Al Pacino, since we're starting our buzz round, talk about the Cowboys?
Oh, well, I'm looking forward to it. I had to think for a second. I was trying to go. I've got to think every second of what's going on. How do I feel about the Cowboys? But this is how I feel. I feel like Jerry is going to make all the right decisions.
If Dr.
Hold on. I'm on his payroll. So I'm going to say all the right stuff. Get the ball to CeeDee Lamb. Come on. Get these contracts in order. We are going to win. Take a look at the Jumbotron. It's big.
Dr. Phil talking to Jerry.
What are you thinking? What is your problem? Why are you doing these contracts at the times you're doing them?
Well, I have been trying to figure out. I don't even do that much, Jerry. I've got to get it through my head.
Well, you better start going on figuring out. What happened to my football prognostication? Give me another voice so we can go into the next thing.
Adam Sandler talking to Dak Prescott.
Hey, Dak, I love watching those hips fly out. That's pretty good there. A pass for me, a pass for you. This is how it's going to be for Dak. Go to the next one because I'm running out of stuff with this one. That's what we're talking about.
Seth Grogan.
I had no idea it was even going to be part of this. You know how it's the best way to watch these games? I don't know if I can say it on the radio.
I don't want to say this one, but I'm going to say it anyway. Stephen A. Smith.
I have to say I understand where we're coming from with some of these things, but intrusiveness, guaranteed. I'm getting somebody get me my thesaurus so I can get into it and understand which words I'm going to contemplate a ratification of.
All right, let's hear George Bush just speaking on the climate today.
Well, I think we have to bring unity. Unification of people and places and things, all nouns have to come together right now, which I believe is our lyrics from a Beatles song, or maybe not.
Obama on the weather.
That kind of climate, it's very humid. You were talking about that. I thought we were talking about the climate of the country.
No, George, but you're doing a tremendous.
Can I say something?
Not your turn.
No, I'd like to say something. I'd like to say many, many things, probably the best things. Joe?
When I was a young man growing up in Scranton, Pennsylvania, 30, 40, 500 years, it was the fall of the Roman Empire. 385, 600 AD. Come on. What are we doing?
Oh, God, the visuals are unbelievable.
I'm whispering.
My joke with Biden is it's always like he listens with his eyes. They're like, Mr. President.
What are we doing? Come on. It's a bad joke for the radio.
No, they're all good jokes. But you have to come to the improv and see him. That's the only way.
Have you seen Soft Trump? Like Trump? Soft, like Trump was since the incident.
Oh, he's pulled
really,
back a little
he's
bit?
He's really pulled it back. I'm saying some of the tough things, but I'm saying them quieter.
How about Charles Barkley getting ready for football season by talking to Terry Bradshaw?
Oh, that's going to be really ridiculous right there. Talk about this knucklehead.
I tell you what, Charles Barkley, isn't he doing a Monday Night Football thing? Is he doing something on the TV? I pronounce the T harder than the V. That's the way it is.
I think this guy, Terry Bradshaw's a knucklehead, but it's fun to watch. Just watch him do highlights like George says.
Mr. Maul.
Morgan Freeman.
And that's when they realized Frank was running out of energy. This is like the end of the fireworks display.
Adam Schefter ranking his favorite Skittles.
According to my sources, at this particular time, it appears the blue Skittle is making a comeback. The green Skittle, only second to the green M&M in efficiency, is finding its way into the world. Into your palate. This is going to be fantastic.
Okay, Mel Kiper drafting Bronny James.
Oh, I'm talking about tremendous talent as far as the name goes at the end. I'm going to get myself in trouble here. Look at what's going on. 6 foot one and a half, they say. 6 foot five. Wingspan, though, at about, about 6'7" wingspan. They say he's a lockdown defender like a Drew Holiday. But Drew Holiday's 6 foot five. We're looking at the end of the day. You're looking at the type of situation you're in. Give me something else. How about an old ranking candy bars? Got Milky Way doing a tremendous job. Also the name of a galaxy that we live in. They got the Snickers bar. You take basically a Milky Way and then you add peanuts into it. But trouble for some people with the peanut allergies, trying to figure out which way to go. Skittles. If you're going away from the chocolate, the tasty goodness of Skittles, finding your way, let me have Sour Patch Kids where you got some type of gummy covered by a soury, sugary substance. And then, I'll try to. Almond Joy's got nuts, Mounds don't. And then, or is it backwards? I'm not even sure which way to grab myself a piece of pumpkin pie. Elf trying to cut in on me because he thinks he's got something better than what I'm doing right now. Doesn't really matter because I'm really enjoying what I'm doing right now. Trying to think of all the different candies. there's a lot of people that are going, why aren't you talking about Three Musketeers? The Three Musketeers bar, trying to figure out as they get older, they get the candy bars get smaller. I remember when a candy bar was 5 cents. 5 cent candy bar, now they're all $1.25. You're bringing up the end. There you go. I ever get turtles? Turtles in a package. pecan, with the caramely goodness surrounded by chocolate. Reese's peanut butter cups. You got your peanuts in my chocolate. You got your chocolate in my peanuts. That's the old Reese's peanut butter. And then now Angel Reese going to be doing Reese's peanut butter cup ads. And the great thing is if you throw the Reese's peanut butter cup wrapper toward the basket, you probably have to rebound it six times and then put it in.
Oh, my God. Robert De Niro and John Madden ordering tacos.
Hey, I why are we? I thought you were gone. Yeah, but I'm back. I mean, this is the afterlife. I mean, if anything could bring it back, I mean it's a chunky gordita. Is that what they're called? I don't know, but I think we're going to try this right here. Huh? Is that what we're doing? Why is this even in my football conversation?
I'm not sure. I'm still trying to figure out why can't we all just get along.
Well, I think it's because of the humidity.
That's pretty good right there, just going from voice to voice, and he doesn't have any real jokes. There you go.
That's really what's going on here.
I didn't even talk about some of this stuff. The P1's right now trying to figure out what's happening. We need Gordo back. That's what they're saying. He stays on topic some of the time.
Don't be a knucklehead. Come on. That's really...
throw out a little Jeff Goldblum. Ooh, very, very odd. Very weird. Did
you touch my drum set? I didn't even know you had drums. Who was that?
I think he was stuck between voices. He wasn't even sure who he was. Well, we can come back to me. Don't stay away from my drum set. You can play my drum set anytime.
Robin Williams discussing the afterlife with John Madden.
Oh my goodness, what's it like? Well, you got like a smoky area over here, and then you walk through there, and you see people that you hadn't seen in a long time, and I mean, you just keep going toward the light.
That was greatness. A lot more of that. A lot more of that at the Addison Improv.
Oh, my goodness.
Friday night, a couple of shows. Saturday night, a couple of shows. It is going to be a good time. That is guaranteed. We'll